Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord told them beforehand so they don't fall away. Life will not be easy after his ascension. He came from the Father and now is returning to the Father. His body was given, his blood was shed, all sin is paid for. Now go into all the world and preach this good news to all creation. The apostles are sent. Apostle means one who is sent. Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, also called Nathanael, Matthew, also called Levi, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James, Matthias, chosen to replace Judas Iscariot, and Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Their testimony has gone out into the world. Their lives were not easy. Tradition holds that all but John died a martyr's death, for no servant is greater than his master. If they killed God, they will not think twice about killing his apostles. As Jesus prayed to the Father, so they prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." They willingly laid down their life, confident of the life to come. It wasn't about getting their names on churches or being remembered throughout history. It was about him, their Lord, their God, his death, his resurrection. They were sent by him. They preached not themselves, but him who redeemed the church with his own blood. He is the Savior. They are the servants. They are the servants who were crucified upside down, beheaded, stoned, impaled, and flayed. If we measure in the ways of the world, this sounds horrific. But not if we measure in the ways of God. Yes, they were inspired and performed miracles and taught with power, but that is still to measure in the ways of the world. To measure in the ways of the world is to think about what they did or what they suffered. To measure in the ways of God is to see what God made them. They received his Holy Spirit. They were his ambassadors, heralds of Christ, servants of the Most High. They were put out of synagogues because they looked forward to the eternal city built by Christ. They were ridiculed by Jews because their family was tied to the faith of Abraham and not to his blood. They were persecuted and killed for preaching forgiveness, peace, love, hope, and joy, and men thought they were doing God a favor. Christ told them all of this beforehand, so they would not measure things in the ways of men, but in the ways of God. We are not apostles. We may be spared a martyr's death. We pray that none of us is tortured, martyred, humiliated before the world, that our children won't be destroyed, but no servant is greater than his master. If this is how they treated God, we shouldn't expect anything different. What should surprise us, though, are the times of peace. But the trouble should not. We imagine ourselves the hero of the story, steadfastly refusing to recant while delivering the most eloquent confession of our faith. Maybe such trials are in our future, but I have my doubts. Still, we won't be spared. No one gets out of this world alive. No one ages gracefully. Death is always ugly, and it comes upon the young and the old. It's a fitting end to a life wrecked by sin. No one will build churches in our honor. Only a small handful will remember us, and that's only for a brief time. For the most part, society pays little attention to us. We don't make the weekend news. We aren't the movers and shakers. We aren't changing things. We're ignored. But we still have fiery trials. They're exhausting and real. We're ashamed that we haven't loved our spouse as we love ourselves. It's embarrassing to admit that our kids annoy us. We're anything but steadfast, patient, wise. Petty comes to mind. Selfish also. We're all ready to stand before kings and to confess, but before our kids, our spouse, our parents, our friends? Daily we fail to live a godly life. The difficulties get to us. We've had a rough go staying at home with the family. We love them, but they get on our nerves. We like work, but it's easy to be lazy when we work from home. Still, we put on our brave face and venture out into the world, assuming everyone has their lives together but us. They're doing their best while we're a complete mess. We comfort ourselves by saying that at least we're not being killed for our faith. So we cannot help but to compare ourselves to others. When we compare ourselves to those who have it better than us, it leads to resentment, and to those worse than us, we feel guilty. But God is the dealer of each hand, and he refuses to treat everyone equally and fairly. Some are born into Christian households, others are not. Some suffer martyrdom, others have peaceful lives. Some struggle mightily, while others have joy. When we measure the way the world measures, we're always dissatisfied. They may not have 5 kids, but they still struggle mightily with the one that they do have, or to even have one. So each of us is wired differently. Each of us receives burdens that only we can carry. We all struggle in some way. It comes and goes. We face little physical troubles, but do not underestimate the emotional and mental struggles. Because they are unseen by others, they are often the hardest ones to carry. We think that we carry them alone. But when we measure as God measures, then we see these trials differently. Christ not only physically suffered, but he also wept at Lazarus' grave. He was exhausted from working and was sleeping in the middle of a boat in the midst of a storm. He was weary and tired. We are not apostles, but still, he has sent to us his Holy Spirit in baptism. So what if tongues of fire never danced on our heads? The Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. It is God who makes both apostles and you stand firm in the faith. He chose them and you. He anointed, forgave, redeemed, and sanctified you both. So you also are an ambassador of Christ, a servant of the Most High God. Regardless of what society says, you don't condone everyone's lifestyle. You don't tolerate sinful behavior. You call sin, sin, whether it's in your children, spouse, friends, or the media. You see that it's destructive behavior. You are a witness of this world, called to let your light shine before men in both what you say and in how you live. You are witnesses of him who is the light of the world, now ascended into heaven. So you testify to something greater than yourself, something greater than your country, something greater than your political view or your life. You testify that this world is not it, that your immediate happiness is a deadly pursuit. So you strive to love your children, though it's exhausting, and to care for your spouse, though sometimes you don't want to, and to love your neighbor, even though they make it so easy to look down on them. These trials are no less real than standing before kings. One we write in books, one we celebrate, one we commemorate and remember, the other we downplay. We say the individual just needs to get his head on straight and figure it out himself. Repent. We have much to learn. We are still being formed into the image of God, but Christ knows. Christ knows what you go through. He told you beforehand so that you would not fall away. He told you beforehand so that you would not think that trouble, stress, or exhaustion were something strange. The apostles were not greater than Christ, and neither are you. For he sees you. He not only has sent his Holy Spirit, but he himself is with you. He tells you, invites you daily, yes, hourly, to unload all of your burdens on him because he cares for you. And then he unloads his yoke of forgiveness on you so you might have rest. You haven't gotten life right. You haven't figured it all out. Still, he forgives you. He remembers his cross, his blood, his death. His love for you never fails. He measures not by what you do or by what you suffer. He measures by what he has made you. And so he keeps you from sinking into the depths of despair and lifts you out of the torrential waters to the safety of his church. Word and sacrament are your strength, the work of Christ. And though you still feel exhausted, he has refreshed you. Though you still are tired, he has sustained you. And though you still die, he has given you life. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.